Please stand by. Good day, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Discover, Reuse, and Govern Your Mainframe Services. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question-and-answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how IBM WebSphere Service Registry and Repository can help maximize the business value of new services. This industrial-strength tool enables businesses to publish, find, enrich, manage, and govern the services in a service-oriented architecture. The speaker for today's teleconference is Vincent Belfour, Technical Sales, Worldwide WebSphere Business Process Management. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Vincent Belfour. Please go ahead, sir.
Welcome to the teleconference, Discover, Reuse, and Govern Your Mainframe Services using IBM WebSphere Service Registry and Repository on System Z. My name is Vincent Belfour. I'm a member of the Worldwide WebSphere Business Process Management Technical Sales Team, and I'll be taking you through this presentation. Let's go ahead and move on to slide number two. All SOA implementations will require some level of governance, based on the level and complexity of the service environment. As we talk about governance in the course of this presentation, we will have the opportunity to see how governance can be applied to organizations of all sizes and SOA maturity. Move on to slide number three. SOA gives the business world and IT world a common vocabulary to address the issues that affect the organization. It is driving greater alignment between the business and IT world, and is having an enduring impact on industry. Life is evolving at an incredible pace. The business world is evolving, the information technology world is evolving, and the way that these worlds interact is evolving. In fact, these one separate worlds are no longer really independent bodies at all. They are becoming truly aligned. There are different approaches you can take to SOA. You can keep a top-down business view of SOA and drive it from the perspective of enterprise-wide business transformation. You can take a bottom-up IT view of SOA and drive flexibility into the business from the perspective of creating flexible connections among components and concentrate on the technology that supports the business. Or you can focus attention on one or more of your organization's business processes in the middle and use this approach to drive flexibility into the IT that supports processes as well as the business that uses the processes. Whatever approach you choose, SOA is the single most valuable asset you have at your disposal for bringing the roles of business and IT closer together. Slide number four. No matter where organizations are on the smart SOA path, understanding their SOA health is critical to maximizing success and value. Their IT fitness level needs to be high enough to meet the dynamic needs of SOA. Whether you've just started or have been using SOA services for a long time, there are always the nagging questions about your SOA health. Did we get it right? Are we ready to grow? Are we achieving the value we thought we would? The fitness of your IT elements, applications and services, and infrastructure is critical for maximizing SOA success and delivering the value to your business. If either of those elements is not ready, you could run into costly rescue missions. Let's move to slide number five. There are several characteristics of SOA that make the tasks associated with IT governance more complex. SOA has a distributed nature. SOA crosses organizational boundaries. Services are usually more granular than the monolithic systems that precede them. SOA operates in a loosely coupled way. Organizations are asking themselves how they can solve the problems that they see cropping up if and when they implement SOA. What they are finding is that these characteristics make the difficult task of IT governance somewhat more complicated, and so organizations are looking for ways to control or govern their SOA implementations in what may perhaps be a more rigorous way than they have previously governed their IT environments. In many cases, an informal, loose IT governance model within an organization has worked within acceptable limits, with exceptions being handled on a pay-as-you-go basis. In an SOA environment, organizations are recognizing that such an informal IT governance model will fail more often than it succeeds, and so a more rigorous model is needed in some environments. Note that it is not suggested that such changes are required in every organization. There are many companies that have an IT governance structure that will adequately handle the challenges of SOA. Slide number six. If you're trying to cover SOA governance, we first want to define governance. At IBM, we define governance as the establishment of change responsibility, measurement, policies, control mechanisms, and communication. Chains of responsibility are the establishment of decision rights. We need to define roles and associate those roles with responsibilities. It is the assignment of accountability. Measurement is how we're going to measure the effectiveness of the governance that we're going to put in place. What key performance metrics are we going to define? We need to ensure that these KPIs contribute to the initial goal. Policies are used to describe management direction, to guide an organization to meet their stated business needs and objectives, to ensure that business conforms to prescribed legislation, to demonstrate management commitment, and to clearly define responsibilities for a particular party within an organization. Control mechanisms are those instruments we put in place to make sure that everyone is doing what they are supposed to be doing. They ensure compliance with the various policies that have been defined and do so by ensuring various checkpoints have been met. Communication is the glue of governance and probably the most important element. We cannot expect parties to perform a certain way unless they fully understand what is expected of them. This drives the importance of communication. IT governance is the application of governance to an IT organization, its people, processes, and information to guide the way those assets support the needs of the business. The critical concept to grasp here is that IT governance, in its ideal sense, has always strived to achieve that confluence between business and IT, and this is not something new that is provided by SOA. SOA governance is a specialization of IT governance. The focus is on effectively managing the life cycle of a service. We will get into much more detail between the differences of IT and SOA governance in the next slide. The deck will also go into extensive detail on what we mean by effectively managing the life cycle of a service. The definition also states that SOA governance handles the key decisions around IT in the context of the service life cycle. It is important to understand what these key IT governance decisions are. Slide number 7. This slide shows the SOA foundation and the various phases of the service life cycle: model, assemble, deploy, and manage. We're not going to go too deep into the service life cycle, since the focus of this presentation is on SOA governance. The SOA foundation shows governance as the bottom layer, and this layer supports all phases of the life cycle. This is an important point. An effective governance model will govern all phases of the life cycle and needs to transcend all phases of the service's life cycle. Each phase will have a series of quality gates or checkpoints that the service needs to comply with before it graduates to the next phase of the life cycle. IBM has also defined the life cycle for SOA governance. Similar to the life cycle of service, the life cycle for SOA governance has four main phases of plan, define, enable, and measure. Also, like the service's life cycle, the SOA governance life cycle is iterative. We will now go into the phases and describe their significance. The plan phase is used to assess the need for governance. It is in this phase where you understand the organizational context that is crucial to defining a governance model that will be accepted by the enterprise. In this phase, you examine the following things. What is the current operational model? Does the enterprise have an IT governance model? What are the current IT governance mechanisms? How does the company make IT decisions? How do those decisions get disseminated across the organization? What were some of the enterprise-wide initiatives that the company has taken on, and why did they succeed or fail? How effective is the current IT governance model? What needs to change? What are the current IT standards, best practices, policies, and principles? In the define phase, you define the governance model. In this phase, you define all five elements of the governance model that we covered earlier in slide 4. When defining the model, you will need to define such things as the organizational mechanisms, the decision rights, the metrics to measure the effectiveness of the governance model, what key processes you are going to govern, business domains, owners to those domains, etc. You will decide if you want to establish a center of excellence in conjunction with your governance model. You will also define an education, mentoring, communication, and transition plan to help map out the implementation of the governance model. In the enable phase, you implement the governance model as outlined in the transition plan. Everything that you just defined in the last phase will need to be enabled. The definition of a transition plan is crucial here, since the transition plan should give you the plan of attack for implementing these various elements and phase this work in such a way that hedges the greatest amount of risk. Finally, the measure phase answers the question of how effective is the governance model. Given the key metrics you define in the define phase, the measure phase will aggregate data based on those metrics and understand if the governance initiative is effectively meeting its objectives. Let's move on to slide number 8. This discussion is all about Web Series Service Registry and Repository. Perhaps the first item to clarify is why the product is both a registry and a repository. There are generally accepted definitions of a registry and a repository. We'll take repository first. A repository stores artifacts. In the case of WSOR, these artifacts are associated with services, WSL, XSD, other XML documents, SCDL, BPEL, etc. A registry holds metadata associated with the artifacts stored in the repository, and that's why we mentioned the repository first. This means that we're holding data that describes the service artifacts. This includes state data associated with a particular artifact, in particular, lifecycle state data. One point of confusion that often arises around WSL, as well as describing a service, WSL also contains some metadata associated with the service. Thus, it is possible to hold certain parts of a WSL document in a repository and other parts in a registry. Now, why have both a registry and a repository in the same component? There are two clear requirements for a consolidated registry repository. An integrated set of capabilities provides a complete set of capabilities in a single component, and it is necessary to keep the artifacts in synchronization with their metadata. If the registry implementation is separate from the repository, then it is possible for the two to get out of sync. Moving to slide number 9. IBM WebSphere Service Registry Repository provides SOA governance capabilities that enable you to maximize the business value of your SOA. It facilitates storing, accessing, and managing service information called service metadata so that you can easily select, invoke, govern, and reuse your services. It has tight integration with IBM SOA Foundation, an integrated open standard-based set of software, best practices and patterns for SOA, and it's based on a highly scalable and available architecture along with robust registry and repository capabilities. Move on to slide number 10. Given that we need a publish and find capability, it is necessary to explore just what resources are being processed. On the left-hand side of this chart illustrates the artifacts that are stored in the repository. The top box shows the high-level or physical artifacts. All these are XML documents. XML is the only data type that can be published within the environment. Some of these artifacts, in particular WSL, can be broken down into other artifacts. This process is often referred to as shredding a physical document to derive logical artifacts. Because an organization might want to store any type of service artifact, there needs to be a general generic artifact definition capability. These generic artifacts are called concepts. As a group, physical documents, logical derivations, and concepts are referred to as entities. There are three types of metadata associated with entities. The first type is properties. Each entity will have a set of properties. Some of these properties will be defined as part of the artifact itself, but it is also possible to add any user-defined properties that are applicable for a particular environment. The next set of metadata is relationships. There are two types of relationships. The first, represented by the top two groups, are relationships that can be derived from the entity itself. The third group represents relationships that are explicitly defined for a particular set of entities. Any relationship can be defined for any set of entities in the environment. The final set of metadata is classification. There are two primary types of classification. The first set can be thought of as categories that are associated with entities. These can be used to group entities into similar sets. It is possible to search for resources based on the classifications, and so they can be extremely useful. The second group of classifiers are states, where the states are associated with a particular service lifecycle. Additionally, there are transitions defined between these states. Slide number 11. This is where references to the important endpoint resources of the environment are held. For example, services, endpoints, and relationships. And one important note to make is that this is not restricted to just HTTP endpoints. This means that endpoints for MQ, CICS, IMS, and others can be represented here. Slide number 12. At the product level, WSOR includes WebSphere Application Server Network Deployment, and WebSphere Application Server Network Deployment includes a UDDI version 3 registry. It is through this architecture that WSOR can support UDDI APIs. This chart shows the WSOR product architecture. WSOR is a WAS-based application. It's packaged as a NIR file. There's an underlying database. This chart depicts DB2, but a number of other databases, including CloudScape and Oracle, are supported. Both WAS and UDB are supplied with WSRR limited use licenses. There are three main components to WSRR, all of which we have discussed above, so there will not be any further details here. WSRR provides two APIs. There's a Java API, which provides full programming capabilities, and a SOAP API provides for create, retrieve, update, delete, and query. Both the web-based UI and the Eclipse plugin use the Java APIs. It is expected that integration with third-party products, including IBM, will be done through the SOAP API. The integration with the Enterprise Service Bus is provided in this manner. Both APIs are published, and so can be used by any connecting component. There are no current standards in this domain, and so both APIs are, at this time, proprietary. There is current standard being developed, WS Resource Transfer. When this is confirmed as a standard, the WSR APIs will be enhanced to include the standard. As always, see the WSR announcement later for the latest operating environment. Slide number 13. It should be no surprise that ZOS is one of the supported platforms. WSR is able to take advantage of some of the qualities of service provided by ZOS. We now know that WSRR is a Java application that runs on WAS. This exploits Zap capabilities. Any investments that an organization has made in Zap technology can be leveraged in a WSRR implementation. Additionally, WSRR exploits ZOS security facilities for controlled access to information. Moving to slide number 14. The five icons in the top box represent the main capability areas that IBM considers to be significant for successful service registry repository implementation. These are publish, find, enrich, manage, and govern. The diagram shows how these capabilities cover aspects of the SOA governance across the SOA lifecycle. There will be further discussion of each of these capabilities in each of the following sections. These will be looked at in the order shown in the graphic. This does not imply any relative importance for these capabilities. Publish is about making service assets available to other users of the environment. This capability is often referred to as socializing SOA assets. Find is about discovery of existing service assets and the reuse of these assets. The publish and find capabilities are generally treated together as they are closely related. They're two sides of the same coin to a large extent. The enrich capability is about the runtime environment where the registry repository is used to enable a more dynamic, service-oriented environment. The runtime is able to react to changes in the underlying service-based environment by using the information in the registry. The manage capability is oriented around management of these service assets, the relationship between the assets, the dependencies between the assets, the lifecycle governance of assets, and the collection of runtime management and monitoring information. The government capability is an extension of the manage capability and is concerned with the appropriate control or governance of the various assets within the service lifecycle. Moving to slide number 15. WSRR addresses real customer pain points. The publish and find capabilities of the Web Service Registry Repository promote service reuse in SOA projects by providing greater visibility of and easier access to existing services. Organizations are asking questions such as how they can effectively organize their SOA services, how can service reuse be promoted to avoid duplicate environment costs, and thus realize one of the core benefits of SOA. And, in general, how can new processes be deployed more rapidly? We will cover how WSRR addresses these and other points. Slide number 16. WebSphere Service Registry and Repository helps in quickly creating or modifying business processes using existing services. A powerful query mechanism allows you to search and find the services that best fit the requirements of a given process. There are multiple methods to publish services and associated metadata. First, there is a web UI. Additionally, there is an Eclipse plugin that can be integrated with the Eclipse-based development tools to provide a seamless view of WSRR's publish and find capabilities. This greatly increases developer productivity as they can publish new assets and reuse existing assets directly to and from their workspace. It has powerful query mechanisms that provide search for services. API support provides access to registry content. Java, ESP, REST, and web service interfaces are available. As mentioned earlier, it is generally the case that publish and find are dealt with as a pair, as they are so closely related. The objectives for these capabilities is to encourage socialization of service assets and their associated metadata. What's required for the socialization is a set of capabilities that allow assets and their metadata to be published to the registry repository in a variety of ways. Once this is done, it is also necessary to be able to declare the relationships and, therefore, the dependencies between the assets. This is a significant capability that positions more capable environments from the basic UDDI registries of the past. This is also the beginning of the service lifecycle capability within the environment as it is necessary to begin the service lifecycle. Two capabilities that are worth special mention are the service discovery engine that can discover services on both IBM Web3 application server and Microsoft.NET platform. This allows you to keep an accurate record of deployed services in your SOA. Faceted search provides a natural and user-friendly way to find services by allowing you to progressively refine search results using attributes, document types, or classification. After assets and their metadata are contained in the registry repository, it is now possible for others to find those resources and reuse them. For many organizations, this is the extent of the requirements at the present time. Even though they are looking for a registry repository environment that provides more capabilities, this is generally because they are looking at functions that they will require sometime in the future. Slide 17. Business processes are an important concept in today's integrated environment and play a key role in business-to-business and enterprise application integration scenarios by exposing the appropriate invocation and interaction patterns. Processes are the building blocks for developing consistent distributed applications in heterogeneous environments. Process-based applications are composed of two distinct pieces: a process model that describes the logical order in which the different activities of the process model are being carried out, and the individual service components that implement the various activities. Therefore, a business process is a set of business-related activities, rules, and conditions that are invoked in a defined sequence to achieve a business goal. These activities can be a variety of different resources that are represented as one or more components. All activities are logically connected with implicit or explicit connectors, which define the logical order in which the business process is executed. Process activities can be executed in sequence or in parallel, depends on the business requirements and the internal dependency of the process steps. The purpose of the business process engine is to interpret these process templates, manage the lifecycle of business processes, navigate through the associated process model, and integrate the appropriate business functions. The services invoked by WebSphere Process Server can be either statically defined or dynamically selected. The process server can query WSRR or service endpoints using a number of criteria, which can include name, classification, and other metadata tags, and then dynamically invoke the endpoint that is most appropriate based on given business values. Moving to slide number 18. The enriched capability enables dynamic and efficient access to service information by both runtime applications and processes that facilitate better connectivity and efficiency. This component of WSRR addresses issues such as how to quickly respond to changing business needs, dynamically selecting the right service at the right time, and managing operational costs. Slide number 19. The enriched capability is concerned with the use of registry repository by the SOA runtime components. This applies to any component that needs to make a service endpoint selection at runtime and wants to use the registry repository to make the most accurate selection possible. As organizations move to a more dynamic SOA environment, they are looking to enhance their runtime environments with some key additional capabilities, such as making an accurate, appropriate service endpoint selection, implementing a policy enforcement point within the runtime environment. This allows whatever policy the organization requires to be enforced. This does not have to conform to some standard like WS policy. Once the runtime environment has registered an interest in a particular service endpoint, it is then possible to notify that runtime of any changes in that endpoint. This can be an automated process using the notification capabilities in WSRR. The information that is retrieved by a runtime can be restricted to certain users of the environment using access control features within WSRR. One of the key runtime environments associated with service selection is the ESB, and so there is a focus on the following chart. Slide number 20. This view is of a generic mediation, not specific to any ESB implementation. It receives a service request and has a static set of rules to determine which service endpoint to invoke. This works well until the environment is changed in some way. When that happens, it is likely that the mediation requires some modification to take account of the change. There is a class of changes where we might use some external lookup component to get more up-to-date information and make the mediation more flexible, and here is where the registry repository comes in. For example, if we wish to call the latest available production version of some endpoint, we can discover this from the registry repository. In order to make registry repository access more efficient, we can also cache the results of queries made to the environment. We can enhance this further by using the notification mechanism mentioned on the previous page to make the cache more current. The WSRR environment provides a query API to allow runtimes to find resources. This API is implemented in two IBM ESB solutions, WebSphere Methods Broker and WebSphere ESB. The mediation primitives are provided with both the base WebSphere Methods Broker and WebSphere ESB products. Moving to slide number 21. This design pattern demonstrates integration with important DOS subsystems, namely WebSphere Message Broker, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, and WebSphere Application Server. It also provides for optimized interaction between WSRR and runtime environments. Also, if an organization has or is planning to make an investment in DataPower SOA appliances, integration is provided to retrieve services from WSRR and enforce associated runtime policies and security. Slide number 22. Somewhere on the path of evolving their SOA, organizations begin to start asking questions about service usage and management. How are services being used? How can the performance and health of services be ensured? If I make a change to a service, how will it impact the larger environment? These and similar questions are addressed by the manage component of WSRR. Slide 23. The manage capability enables management of service metadata as well as service interactions, dependencies, and redundancies. You can classify services into meaningful groupings based on business objectives, manage policies for service usage, and monitor how services are changed and versioned. Also, you can link related binary documents, such as Word and PDF files, to service metadata. This capability helps you optimize the use of services in an SOA by exchanging rich service metadata with runtime, monitoring tools, and operational data stores. You can publish policies that apply to services stored in WSRR, including WS policy compliance, policy specifications. These policies are enforced by the clients of WSRR, such as Enterprise Service Bus, and help you institute best practices in your SOA deployment. Multiple versions of an entity can coexist in WSRR. Concepts and user-defined relationships enable users to dynamically move the service endpoint from one version to another. Moving to slide number 24. As an organization begins thinking about SOA governance, they begin to consider issues like, how do we manage the service lifecycle? How can we control who can make decisions and changes? How do we enable governance for applications? It's the governance component of WSRR that addresses these and similar points. Slide 25. WSRR has very rich governing capability to address the pains outlined on the previous slide. Starting with access control, you can control the visibility and access to service metadata for sharing and reuse by utilizing role-based access to service metadata. Using the Access Control Editor, you can easily set up access control rules that align with your business. Service Lifecycle adds support for user-definable entities and customizable service lifecycles to allow you to configure WSRR precisely according to your business needs. WSRR supports tracking of service metadata as it makes its way through its governed lifecycle, including approvals, deprecation, and retirement in development, test, staging, and production environments. Using custom validators, you can guard lifecycle state transitions of services. WSRR has the ability to configure subscriber notifications. Registered clients can be notified of the transitions through user-defined notifications. Notifications can be implemented as basic Java message service, JMS, publication of events, as well as email-based notifications. Slide number 26. WSRR has an out-of-the-box governance profile. To help you get started easily and quickly, WSRR provides a well-defined service model that includes templates, associated lifecycles, and governance policies with a generic validator, classification system, roles, and perspectives that can be customized to suit your business needs. Slide 27. Up to this point, we've been talking about services in a general sense. Now let's take some time to focus on a couple of technologies, in particular MQ and CICS. The MQ service definition allows MQ applications to be described using WSDL. And WSRR meta model extensions support storing MQ service definitions. CICX transactions can be published in either batch or one at a time as web services into WSRR. Reverse is also possible. You can get the WSDL from WSRR and generate the local language constructs that can be used by CICS. The communication between CICS and WSRR is done via SOAP APIs, which means the CICS transaction server version 3.1 is required in order to take advantage of this feature. Once MQ and CICS applications have been published to WSRR, they can participate in all of the capabilities that we have talked about up to this point. They can be classified, described, and governed just like any other service in your SLA. The CICS or MQ services can be managed from the perspective of an SLA lifecycle. As with any other type of service, the CICS and MQ services can be monitored and optimally selected for dynamic invocation in SLA applications. Moving to slide 28. In the last slide, we mentioned that we have the ability to take CICS applications and publish them as WSL documents to WSRR, as well as reverse the operation and retrieve a WSL document and generate high-level structures. This capability is built into Rational Developer for Systems Z 7.1, formerly known as WD for Z. The tool can be used to generate a WSL document from high-level language structures and then publish the WSL directly to WSRR. This capability is integrated directly into the tooling, so there is no need to leave the development environment and invoke some other tool to accomplish these tasks. Slide 29. Once the CICS application has been published to WSRR as a WSL document, it can be decorated with metadata tags. These can be used to facilitate the service's runtime selection or manage its classification. The service can now be easily found by other developers for inclusion in SLA applications, promoting reuse of the CICS application. Using the graphical dependency view of WSRR, you can see how the CICS services are being used by other services and applications. Moving to slide number 30. Rational Developer for Systems Z can be used to search WSRR and retrieve WSL documents, which it can then turn into high-level structures and evoke the service from a CICS application. This allows developers of CICS applications to easily utilize services that are registered with WSRR. Since this functionality is integrated with the development tooling, a developer can, with only a few mouse clicks, retrieve a service and immediately begin using it in their application. Slide 31. Summarizing the value that WSRR brings to the ZOS environment. Investments in MQ and CICS can be leveraged by using the tooling and service-enabling mainframe applications. This can be viewed both as extending the reach of SLA applications into the mainframe and providing the value of mainframe applications to an SLA environment. WSRR is a Java application running on WebSphere application servers. This allows an organization who has implemented ZAP to take advantage of the investment while realizing the gains of SLA governance. WSRR can realize the co-location advantages provided by ZOS when interacting with WebSphere Application Server, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, WebSphere Message Broker, and CICS. WSRR provides integration with data power devices, providing routing, transformation, and bridging capabilities among message formats. The devices parse and transform information at wire speed between disparate binary legacy and XML message formats, including COBOL. In summary, WSRR is a natural fit for any organization that has made an investment in ZOS and is looking to implement SLA. Slide 32. One registry repository cannot be optimized to address the different requirements within SLA. It is expected that there is a need for federated registries across the SLA lifecycle, both to support services within a company, but also to share services potentially between organizations. WSRR federates with other SLA repositories to enable governance and management of the complete service lifecycle. At the model and assemble phase, WSRR is complemented by repositories that specialize in managing SLA development artifacts. For example, WSRR supports federated search and publish with Rational Asset Manager that manages bundles of artifacts describing assets that include service and composite application components. At the deploy and manage phase, WSRR can interact with a number of runtime repositories to optimize service invocation, interaction, and management. WSRR can federate with WebSphere Business Service Fabric, allowing dynamic service selection and assembly based on business-related metadata and contextual data. CCMDB can be leveraged to provide information about where services are running and how they are performing. It also provides the ability to discover all services that are running in an environment and reconcile that information with WSRR to ensure that all running services are registered and participating in the governance model. Moving to slide 33. WSRR works with a number of other IBM and business partner products. SOA is implemented using a variety of different infrastructure and infrastructure products, both from IBM and partners. WSR acts as a common reference point to bring together the descriptions of those services from the different infrastructures. This is the key to socializing, governing, and achieving the connectivity. Slide 34. We will now look at several customer case studies and examine how WSRR is able to solve real business problems. Moving to slide 35. A telecom company was looking for a way to eliminate redundant systems, improve operations, and create a more flexible and dynamic infrastructure to meet their changing business needs. The solution they implemented included WSRR, Webster Process Server, IBM Tivoli Composite Application Manager for SOA, and several Webster adapters. WSRR provided the customer a simple way to catalog their services and govern their service lifecycle. The interaction between WSRR and ITCAM for SOA provided the ability to look into their environment and eliminate redundancies. To provide a flexible application infrastructure, Webster Process Server was implemented, and through interaction with WSRR, it is able to provide dynamic service selection based on business values. Moving to slide number 36. In the next example, a manufacturing company needed to eliminate the time and money spent on redundant application development, reduce overall IT expenditure, and improve their overall responsiveness to the needs of the business. The solution included Webster Message Broker and WSRR. WSRR was used to provide visibility into the existing services and help eliminate redundant development and track the service lifecycle. Webster Message Broker and WSRR allow dynamic service interactions, providing a faster time to market and keep up with changing business needs. Moving to slide 37. European multinational automotive manufacturer has strategic plans for growing its business. The manufacturer sought to increase its development and production to produce more than 800,000 vehicles between 2005 and 2009 and to improve its operating margin by 6% by 2009. Alongside the production and profits, the manufacturer hopes to move one of its models within the top three in its marketplace in terms of service and product quality. As the customer boosted its operations to meet these goals, the number of IT applications increased. A myriad of platforms became difficult to manage and expensive to license, so the manufacturer sought to implement a service-oriented architecture so that it could reuse existing applications, data repositories, and web-based services. A particular advantage of an SOA on web services would be the ability for customers to quickly and easily post all known issues, defects, and recalls for each vehicle it manufactures to satisfy a crucial government mandate. To launch its SOA initiative, the customer implemented 5 Webster Data Power Integration Appliance XI50 devices to act as the infrastructure's enterprise service bus. To help ensure the security of various web service transactions, the customer also deployed an IBM Webster Data Power XML Security Gateway XS40 device within its DMZ. In the fourth quarter of 2007, the customer deployed the IBM Webster Service Registry and Repository onto its Webster Application Server platform running on the ZOS operating environment. The Webster Service Registry and Repository application manages the customer's web services and contracts, as well as reporting usage statistics regarding the web services. Moreover, the solution manages the Webster Data Power device's provisioning and maintains visible subscriptions between the application and the Webster Data Power SOA appliance. The customer achieved benefits in controlling and governing its growing service environment. 21 services deployed in 2006 and is expected to grow 50 new services in 2007. They also improved time to market for their products by optimizing service interactions and reduced costs by increasing visibility of services, enabling reuse and adoption. Moving to slide number 38. On the slide are listed a number of resources where you can find more information on WSRR in general and how it applies to ZOS, SOA Governance, Webster MQ, CICS, and Rational Developer for System Z. Moving to slide 39. This final slide is an invitation for you to join IBM and other industry leaders at Impact 2008 in Las Vegas, Nevada. This event is IBM's second annual SOA conference where you can hear real customer success stories, gain industry expertise, and take part in Webster technical training. If you are interested in learning about IBM's approach to SOA, and please follow the link on the stage and learn more about this exciting event. This brings us to the end of the presentation. I would like to thank you for taking the time to hear about WSRR, and I hope that you learned some valuable information about how it can be used on ZOS to enhance your SOA environment. Now I would like to turn it over to the operator to take your questions.
Thank you, Vincent. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment. Our second question was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference. If it was at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. And if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. We'll pause again. Question 3, has SOA governance become a priority in your enterprise? For yes, press star 1, and for no, press star 2. Our fourth question, has your enterprise started an SOA governance deployment? For yes, press star 1, and for no, press star 2. Question 5, is your enterprise planning to begin an SOA governance deployment in the next 6 to 12 months? If yes, press star 1, and if no, press star 2. And our final question today, we do hope you have enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. And if no, press star 2. And we'll pause for just a moment to assemble our responses. That does conclude our survey for today. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone at any time. And I'll turn things back over to Vincent while we wait for questions. And once again, everyone, that is star 1 if you have a question today. And Mr. Belfour, there are no questions at this time. And Mr. Belfour, if you could check your mute function.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry about that. I would first of all like to extend the offer to everyone on this call that you may send any questions that you come up with in the future to me via email. My email address is my last name as is spelled out on the first slide, E-E-L. F-O-U-R-E at us.ibm.com. And with that, I would like to thank everyone again for taking the time to join us today, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
And once again, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. Have a great day.